Hello and welcome to your free therapy session. My name is Holly.
My name is Violet, and this is Therapy Hour.
Because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam peoples. Before we start today's episode, we just wanted to do a quick content warning. Today we'll be briefly mentioning drug use, addiction, and sex. It's nothing too detailed, but just wanted to make sure that's what y'all are getting yourselves into.
Today we are talking about love versus limerence. Now you may be wondering, hey, therapy hour. What is limerence? Limerence, after all? this episode was originally going to be titled Love versus Obsession, but I stumbled upon this TikTok by Flow by Low. It's the TikTok user's name. And the TikTok was all about love versus limerence, and I had never heard of that term before. But I thought that the user really captured what we were trying to get at in this episode. So before we dive into our own personal thoughts and opinions, I really wanted to play this TikTok by Flow by Low for you all because, as I said, I think it does a really great job at capturing, and I thought it would be a great way to kick this off. So we're going to listen to that.
So I've been thinking a lot about limerence, which is described as the powerful experience of obsession with someone. And it's not love, it's not the same thing, but a lot of limerence will initially think it's love. But the thing is that a dynamic love, a real love, will be a situation where both people are real. And both people are deeply flawed and understand that about the other. But a limerent, the person they love, will be an object. And they're referred to psychologically as LOs, the limerence object. And in that way, they become this static ideal of what the person admires about them. The shitty thing about being a limerent is that when you fall into this pattern of being obsessed with someone, you are coming from a place of neglect. Neglect in the past that created wounds that then it's believed this person can heal those wounds just by being there with their beautiful affection, self, time, care. As the limerent continues to get more invested in their object and continue to idealize them, they neglect themselves in the process, creating more wounds of neglect. And so really it's a living out of a childhood of neglect to then go and be obsessed with someone and make the pursuit of that object the emotional stabilizer. And so a lot of limerents will report huge periods of instability in their lives. And what psychologists continue to come back to is this idea that you heal limerents by the opposite of neglecting yourself, caring for yourself. But sometimes to care for yourself, you have to be able to release the object, because as long as you're idealizing and pedestaling someone else, there's always this invisible, attainable pursuit. When in order to self-care, you need to be like meeting yourself at every moment. And it's also been linked, limerence, to periods of low serotonin but high dopamine. So that would be like when you're in anticipation. Dopamine requires anticipation. So it's always that rush of almost having. And so I was just thinking, like, limerence is probably the most painful experience anyone can have, because it's not love, it's the waiting of love. And the intensity of thinking that once it's there, everything will be okay. Which keeps someone accepting that their current life is not.
So I was really struck by that TikTok. Mm-hmm. I thought it was such a interesting idea, and I definitely saw a lot of truth in it. I think what she gets to at the end about limerence being the most painful thing anyone can go through, like, I don't know if I, like, sure, it's definitely painful, no doubt, but, you know. But other than that, I think she did a really great job unpacking that concept and kind of explaining what those two terms mean. But also, why you might find yourself in limerence rather than love, and kind of unpacking that aspect of it as well, and how that can go on to impact you. So what did you kind of think listening to that, Holle?
Yeah, I really enjoyed listening to that, especially because I didn't know what limerence was before you brought it up. So I really, really enjoyed the part that she's talking about neglect and like not, almost not knowing exactly what it is that you deserve as a person, and kind of like projecting what it is you may desire onto someone who may not even be giving it to you, and like facing this obsession with this person that really isn't giving you what you need, but you have almost just like made up the fantasy of like what they can give you. I really was struck by that because I've also like felt that way before, and like I didn't know there was words for that.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, and I didn't catch it on my first listen, but she does go on to say something about low serotonin and high dopamine. I did research for this podcast, for this episode. I didn't find that much on limerence, and I definitely did not find anything about limerence doing low serotonin and high dopamine, and how serotonin like has this anticipation aspect is not really that true.
Okay, good fact checking.
But
things on the internet must be fact checked.
But I really, again, like I loved what she said about it. And the thing is, like we've talked about this before, and we'll get into this later on as well, like love and limerence seem to be very, very heavily intertwined, and they can be very difficult to distinguish. And also, not everything has to be scientific. So, like, I think that these feelings, like, I'm sure there are people that can look at their past relationships, ones that they may have not been, like, completely satisfied with, and have characteristics of what we may see as limerence, but then they wouldn't define it that way, which is perfectly fine. But I love that there is a term and there's like concepts behind that. I think that's important.
Yeah, it felt to me, and why I wanted to kind of switch the title from infatuation or obsession to limerence, was because I felt like it was a term that enveloped so much more than just the terms infatuation or obsession, even though it gets at a similar point. And thinking about, you know, because when I thought about people mistaking limerence, as we now know, or infatuation, obsession with love, I wasn't really thinking about the fact that that might be coming from a background of neglect. And that's why you might be more susceptible to that. And that term and that explanation really helped open my eyes to that. And like you were saying, it is extremely easy to mistake these two things, because at the end of the day, our feelings are intangible. They're abstract, they're not concrete. And love, I think in particular, can really be such a subjective thing, especially when we're thinking about romantic love. And I was thinking about how, you know, society makes such a big deal, I think, out of this idea of falling in love and knowing when you're falling in love, and you just know when you know. And I think that can be such a frustrating thing for people. And just trying to place that emotion, feeling really strongly for someone and not knowing, hey, can I classify this as love yet? Or is this healthy? Is this not healthy? And it's interesting because I think that people might invalidate themselves in terms of love much more than they do for other emotions like happiness, sadness. I wouldn't question, like, can I tell people that I'm happy right now? Because I'm not totally sure if I'm happy. Like, I'm just, you know, people just shouldn't really do that. Yeah, exactly. But I think people do second guess themselves and question themselves, especially if they're, I think any love, but especially a first love.
Well, I think love, you know, societally and also individually, just holds so much weight. I mean, talk to anyone that's ever been heartbroken before, whether they were in love or not. I think that's so much of what my brain goes to, is like, I can think about what heartbreak feels like and what being rejected or whatnot feels like. And that is the possible outcome of them falling in love with someone. I also think that, like, it's so interesting people's fascination with like wanting to know when it's going to happen and also like really trying to define it. Because I've talked to you about this before, but I get really frustrated sometimes when people will talk about their quote unquote first loves and they'll say something like, well, I thought that was love, but then I met this person and now I know that this is real love. And it's like, maybe that's true. Maybe that your first love was just limerence. Maybe it was just infatuation. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I also think that there is so much nuance when it comes to love. And like, you can't say that one thing is this and the other thing is this. And also, sometimes you fall in love with the wrong people and maybe it doesn't work out. It doesn't mean that it still wasn't love.
Yeah.
So I think that's really interesting. And then also, I find it so fascinating, just the concept of trying to figure out what love is, because I feel like you and I talk so much of, I have so much love for certain people in my life, but I don't have this like romantic love for them. And I feel like that's something I always think about, is I have so much love to give to the people around me. And I know when I like look at my friends or people I really care about and I'm like, oh my goodness, I have so much love for these people, but that hasn't, well, I mean, spoiler alert, I have not been in love before, at least not romantically. So it's very interesting for me to think about that happening in a romantic sense. And then I'm always like, is this going to be a really big deal? Am I going to like sit up like one of those shots in the movies where you just look out into the abyss and you're like, I think
like
I
a
love
that's
him.
So Raven moment. Yeah, I think it's interesting that everyone has, you know, their own unique relationship to love. And the way that you were saying, you know, having love for friends, I think that we have friends who their platonic love very easily transfers over into romantic love as well, which I don't think you and I relate to that much, but we certainly know people do. And, you know, that's just a great example of how everyone kind of loves and experiences love differently. And I even heard from someone who started dating a friend, and you and I will say like, oh, I love you to each other, our friends, whatever. And they were saying that in a platonic sense and then started dating this person and just like was like, okay, we're going to start saying I love you again. But obviously it takes on another meeting, but it's like, oh, it'd be weird to stop saying this, which was kind of a very interesting thing for me, because I would want to like take a step back, I think, if I was in that scenario. And then once I felt as though, if I ever felt as though I was in love with that person. But again, I think even saying I love you for the first time is a bigger deal for some people than it is for others.
Yeah, of course.
I also had this friend who was in her first serious relationship, and it was really new and fresh and exciting. They had been together for, I believe, like a month or so.
Yeah.
And she was hanging out with her partner and he was like, oh, I love the way that your hair looks and I love your eyes and oh, I just love this about you and that about you. And she came to me in a panic and she was like, I think my partner is going to say I love you soon. And I was like, okay, like, that's how do you feel about that? She's like, I don't know. Like, we haven't been together that long and I don't know if I'm in love with him. And I was like, well, at the end of the day, like, it's just a feeling.
Yeah.
And the thing that's, I think I used this example when we were having a meeting about it, it's not like your skin turns green or anything like that. And then you're like, oh, I'm in love. You know, like, you can only look within and trust your gut and trust your judgment. And that can be really frustrating for a lot of people.
Sure.
And wrestling with that and bouncing back and forth. Am I in love? Am I not in love? But trust your gut, trust your instinct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I had a friend once come to me when she was dating someone, and she, I remember for the first time, she was like, I think I'm falling in love with him. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is so amazing and this is going to be so interesting. And then a few weeks later, she came back, she was like, actually, never mind.
And that's okay.
And that's fine. Sometimes we don't know.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've had so many I remember I was seeing someone a couple of years ago, and I remember one night being up really late at night and being like, oh my God, am I in love
with
them?
Is this love?
And then I was really freaking out. And the thing is like, it's okay if you don't know. And it's okay if you, and if, I think everyone has different levels of importance of what love means to them. And yeah. I think that you can show someone care and respect and intimacy without particularly being in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
But also being in love is a great thing, I'm assuming.
Oh, no. Sorry, I hit the mic.
I also, this is just a right time to say this anecdote that one time Violet and I were in our living room.
I think
and
I know where you're going with
this. I don't know where, why we were talking about this, but I pretty much said to Violet, like, oh, you know, when I fall in love, I know that the minute it happens, I think you're going to be one of the first people I call.
Before your partner.
And then she looks at, I look over at her and she's just like holding back welling tears.
Welling up. Yeah, my eyes are like welling up. And I'm like, ah, I can't wait.
But this is a good time to ask, as someone who's not the person that's been in love before, do you have some anecdotes?
As the love guru. Yeah, I've been in love a time or two.
Yeah, only a few times.
And I was thinking about, like, my first I love yous in the past. And I think one of my, I haven't been in love that many times, you guys, okay?
No one's saying it. You're projecting.
I don't know. The way I'm talking about it is just so broad. I just want to clarify that. But
it's only been, like, 15.
Yeah, like, 20 plus. No, but I was in a relationship with this person.
Good. That's a good start.
That's where it starts. I don't know why I'm getting, like, so embarrassed in the studio
blushing
right now.
Under your mask.
I am. But I was in a relationship with this person, and we were at my childhood home,
mm-hmm.
and we had gone outside onto my front porch in the evening, and I'd, like, kind of been thinking about it, like, ooh. Like, I think I might love this person. And I was really nervous about saying it. But we were sitting outside. And a quirky little thing about my family is they keep the Christmas lights, like those Christmas fairy lights up year round. So I think it was summertime. But they were up. And we were sitting on this swinging this rocking swing.
Yes,
I don't know.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Porch seat and under the lights, and it was very sweet and dreamy, and it just felt like it was welling up in my chest, and aww. Like I felt like if I didn't say it, it was gonna like give me a nosebleed or something. Aww. Like I was just like, I need to say this. And the way it came out was like, I think I kinda, sorta, am falling in love with you. Aww. And then they were like, "Oh, me too." And then they were teasing me about saying kinda, sorta, aww. I think. All of this stuff is scary to say for the
that
first
was
time.
So, that's such a cute... Yeah. I like how you said that, though, where it's like, it's welling up inside of you. Because I feel like I've had moments in my life, not even pertaining to, like, just... expressing love for people, but I've had those feelings before of like, I need to say this, like, yeah. I need to get this off my chest. And it's like such a powerful emotion that, like, if I don't say this right now, like, I think I might implode.
Yeah.
Like, so that's really sweet. Yeah. That's a really sweet
thanks.
Thing. That's a great anecdote.
I don't know why I get so nervous and embarrassed talking about it. Like, it was honestly kind of a long time ago now, but it's still, I don't know, I think love is just such like a personal experience to share with someone, and it makes me a little shy to talk about it.
Shy.
But that's my falling in love story. Uh-huh. Have you ever been in limerence, Shorty?
So I haven't been in love, but learning a bit about limerence, I started recognizing some behavior in my past, and without going into too much detail because there's really not much to say, I did have an experience a little while ago where I was seeing someone and then it abruptly ended, and I was really upset about it. I was also going through a lot, and I found that I was really like projecting this ideal on this person, and it was kind of making me feel worse because I'd been rejected by them. So I was very, you know, It's interesting because I imagine the way that this person was talking about limerence and maybe the way it's manifested for other people, mm-hmm. kind of maybe when you're in the relationship. Yeah. And I can't say that I did that in either of the situations I can think of, like limerence. Mm-hmm. But this specific one, it's more of this idea that, like, after it ended, mm-hmm. it felt like I projected this ideal on this person. And then I painted them as this very perfect human that was going to change my life, right. and like all this stuff, and I imagined all these
all the what ifs
and yeah. I don't know if it's the same thing, but it reminded me of that because yeah. it did consume me for a while, and like I feel genuinely that it was something that made getting over that relationship really difficult, mm-hmm. and I then can also think back to like not being treated that well in some of my past relationships. So seeing, I find myself not constantly but like a lot of the times within relationships kind of seeking out this perfect ideal but not really knowing always how to ask for it, and so yeah. that was the only thing that I could kind of think of. So I can definitely empathize with people yeah. that maybe are listening to this and hearing this term for the first time and might be recognizing this in some of your past relationships. Yeah. And, like, I feel like this can be out of various ideals. I think that you can find yourself in a seemingly good relationship and mm-hmm. then take a step back and think to yourself, oh, I wasn't being treated in the way that mm-hmm. I wanted to, but I was projecting this ideal on this human yeah. being. And or it's after you've broken up yeah. or it's whenever. I think there's
I would imagine that a lot of people can relate to this idea of things ending, especially if they end prematurely in your mind, right. For whatever reason. And then that turning into a bit of limerence, I feel like yeah. that's a very relatable scenario, because if things play out to their fullest or even maybe past the point that they should, you end up getting some closure in those situations, yeah. and sometimes in those shorter or less satisfying situations you don't get that kind of closure, and I think that yeah. that can really manifest into that obsession, that overthinking, that wishing, those what ifs.
Yeah, what if I done this, what if they did this? Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, so we're gonna take a little break. We're gonna get Violet some water to calm down from her her love story.
Wow.
And then when we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit about some research in love, and a little bit about limerence. And as always, we have a little song that we've picked. Today we'll be listening to "You Belong to Me" by Patsy Cline. It's somewhat related to this in some ways. And then, yeah, that's all I have to say.
We'll be right back.
See the pyramids along the Nile. Watch the sunrise on a tropic isle. Just remember, darling, all the while, you belong to me. See the marketplace and old Algiers. Send me photographs and souvenirs. Just remember, when a dream appears, you belong to me. I'll be so alone without you. Maybe you'll be lonesome too. Jungle when it's wet with rain. Just remember, till you're home again, you belong to me. I'm wet with rain. Just remember till you're home again, you
About 40% of UBC students experience food insecurity. Sprouts is hosting a weekly produce market from 10:30 to 1:30 every Monday in the Life Building. With produce from local farms, students are free to take whatever they want. Sprouts Cafe is open from Monday to Thursday and is offering 30 free meals a day, completely free and no questions asked. They also host Community Eats, a completely free hot lunch that is open for all. Stop by and support the Sprouts cause for sustainable, accessible food at UBC. The 21st edition of Doxa Documentary Film Festival returns May 5th to 15th, 2022. Committed to cultivating curiosity and critical thought, Doxa will present both short and feature films from across Canada and the globe, representing some of the best in documentary cinema. The hybrid in-person online festival will include both live and pre-recorded conversations with filmmakers, as well as some industry-specific events. Visit doxafestival.ca for more details.
And we're back. You're listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. We're talking about love versus limerence. What were you able to find in your research?
So lots of very interesting things talking talking about love, a little bit about limerence, not as much, unfortunately. But one thing that I wanted to say prefacing this research portion is also about how the study of love takes place. Mm-hmm. So one way that love is studied is kind of observing how love manifests over time, how people act when they're in love. And that's usually based in self-reports. So you'll send out a survey to people and say, like, are you in love with someone? Yes. And then they'll ask you a bunch of different questions. Mm-hmm. There's another way of looking at love, which is through brain activity and brain like chemical reactions. And this is usually done when they put people in MRIs who are in relationships. They say they're in love or they have been recently rejected and they say that they are still in love with the person. And then they'll show them this, you know, normal picture of a person mm-hmm. that they don't know to do a base test, and then they'll show them the picture of the person that they're in love with. So that's kind of what I want to talk about. And there is this fantastic anthropologist named Dr. Helen Fisher who has done like 10 plus years of research in love. And what she has to say is she breaks down love in three parts. So it's sex drive, romantic attraction, and attachment. And she argues that there are about, like, what is it, six different brain chemicals that are active in these sections. So sex drive is associated with testosterone. Romantic attraction is related to dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin. And then attachment is linked to oxytocin and vasopressin. We don't need to know the definitions of those drugs, but that's kind of the idea. And the idea behind why it's important to know that they are different brain chemical reactions is because that means that these things mean different reactions in your brain. So sex drive is not the same as romantic attraction, it, at least in your brain.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they can't lead to one another.
Right, or overlap.
Right, but they are separate reactions that they have seen in their tests.
Mm-hmm.
So I read her work a little bit, and she did this really amazing study where she looked at people who were newly in love, people who were in love for a very long time, and people who had just been dumped but were still in love with the person.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the interesting thing here was that there was the same activity in the same region called the nucleus accumbens. That section of the brain is also happens to be the same section of your brain that is linked to addiction. So she said in one of her talks, I think it was at Google or something like that, that when someone is falling in love and sees a picture of the person that they're in love with, the reaction they have in their nucleus accumbens and their dopamine response is the same as when someone is someone has like just done cocaine.
Wow.
And her thing is like the thing with when you do cocaine is you go up and then you go down.
Okay.
But with love, it just keeps keeps stable.
Oh wow! So there's no like leveling off or falling down.
Well, obviously there's like it's gonna spark when you see it. But her idea was like there are times where your system doesn't have cocaine in it.
Mm-hmm.
There are not times, at least in these situations, where your body doesn't have like the love idea. Yeah,
that's cute.
And it was the same for all these three groups of people. So people that had just been dumped and were still in love with their partners had the same chemical reactions in their brains. And also it became in certain other sectors of the brain there was more activity because they knew that they didn't have the person. And the main thing I want to say mostly about dopamine is that when dopamine is released in the brain, I think a lot of people think about dopamine as like a feel-good drug.
Yeah.
But dopamine actually is in charge of reminding the body what something like serotonin has just made them feel. So serotonin makes someone feel quote-unquote good.
Mm-hmm.
Dopamine is really important in addictions because dopamine teaches your brain to remember how good something made you feel.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think about releases of dopamine when it comes to loving someone, that is a chemical reaction in your brain that is like teaching you when you see this person, you feel really, really good. And it can also lead to points when they aren't making you feel good that your brain has now learned still, oh, but this is the person that did make me feel good.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I want to say before we kind of break all this down is that she also relates a lot of the process of falling in love and being in love to one, addiction, but also an obsession. Like she talks about how the different brain activity that's going on in your brain and the chemicals that are being released, you are thinking about this person constantly. And so she says that the difference between having platonic love for someone versus romantic love is that obsession factor. She's like, you can love your friend or your mother, but you're not constantly thinking about them and fantasizing about them. But when you love someone romantically, that is when you have this like ongoing obsession.
That's an interesting distinction because I would argue against what was it, Dr. Helen Fisher?
Yeah, yeah.
That can happen pre-love stage. Like I've definitely had crushes that I would not consider being in love with, and I'm like, teehee, wake up, think about this person, go through my day, think about this person, sitting in class, think about this person.
Yes.
And then also I would say in limerence, you could definitely experience that as well.
Well, that's the other thing too. And like, to be fair, I think that when she's using the term love, it's very loosely where she's just like talking about people, like the act of like romantic attraction and the act of like falling for someone and all
but
that.
No, but that is a very like interesting and I think important distinction from this platonic or familial love even.
Which honestly made me really, because I've actually been thinking about this a lot recently of like, what is the difference between like the love I have for a friend versus like the love I have for a romantic partner?
Yeah.
But that is, you know, that makes sense then why people can also fall into limerence. It's not to say that these, because again, the fact that the brain reactions to cocaine and falling in love in the nucleus accumbens is like somewhat similar, that is a really odd thing. Like, it's almost as if your brain can't really distinguish that. And what's so important and what I find so fascinating about humans and brains and how people perceive things is that you can somewhat make that distinction in your head. Obviously, not the people who are going out and doing cocaine are not going to like now think that they're I don't know, in love with the first person they see. Maybe they are. But I think that, you know, in that case, I've done a drug versus now like, oh, now I'm falling in love for the, with this person. Like, it makes sense that those things are overlapping. So it kind of brings me back to limerence, where it's like, I feel like these things are so, so subjective, and it's so based in like what you are feeling subjectively.
I completely agree. It is very subjective, as we touched on at the start of this. And I think this research, in a way, it adds validity, like even hearing that there are like certain parts of the brain that are activated and certain chemicals going on when you are in love or this or that. The other thing, like, it adds a lot of, like, I don't know, having science behind it is so weird, I feel like, because it's just an emotion. But I guess that's what all, like, psych is about.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I'm like, no. It's just a thought. It's just, like, a heart on a paper.
Well, I think that's what's interesting, though, right? Is, like, you can take this information whichever way you want it. Because at the end of the day, you are going to think about, when you're in love with someone, you're not going to be like, oh, my nucleus accumbens is activated now. Like,
I should go get my brain scanned and make sure this is real love.
Actually, that'd be so, I would do that. If that was offered, I would do that personally.
I'd volunteer for that study.
But I think it's, so I also did some research on limerence. And this is why I had a little bit of an issue with the TikTok, was that she was claiming these things about psychologists say. And I really did look at limerence and a lot of limerence. So limerence is terminology that they use in research about OCD.
Interesting.
Because people who have obsessive compulsive disorder will sometimes find objects that will become their limerent. There was some interesting articles. There was lots about like the coining of the term limerence, because they were having issues in some psych studies to like figure out if this person was actually in love or they just had limerence. And so what they kind of defined it as was this unintentional deep obsession with a person.
That's an interesting addition of unintentional.
Yes, that's what I found really fascinating. Was like, it's not like you're choosing this person to become obsessed with. It has probably come out of the product of like, there was probably something you did like about them,
for sure,
but it has come into this idea that you are now somewhat obsessed with them. It also is described with emotional dependence, devastation if feelings are not reciprocated, and fantasies about the other person.
Even that is tough to distinguish, because we had a whole episode on rejection.
Yes.
Like, if I go for something and the feelings aren't reciprocated, like, I might describe that as devastating. Does that mean I'm in limerence?
No.
I don't. Sometimes, maybe.
Sometimes, maybe.
Maybe. But, that's so interesting.
Yeah, and then the main difference that people, or at least this one paper that I was reading, the main difference that they kind of coined was that limerence is usually rid of true intimacy, and it usually is not based in any reciprocation of the feelings that the person is giving to their limerence.
That makes sense. Like, two people can't be in limerence with each other.
No, I think that's just love.
Exactly. Like, the whole point is that it's not mutual, and that might mean in the way that it's like expressed, the way that the people are treating each other. It's just not a back and forth. It's one-sided in the infatuation, in the putting this person up on a pedestal.
Yeah, and then like going back to what Dr. Helen Fisher was saying, you know, she talks a lot about how these love mechanisms have been in our brains forever. She does a lot of talks now about how technology is not going to ruin love. And even if we have like this abundance of choice, that may cause issues in relationships and dating, but it will not like rid us of the capacity to fall in love with people in the ways that we've been doing it for a very long time. So when you think about how these mechanisms are already in place for us, and now you have limerence that comes in where it's like, this is kind of similar. It just seems like the person that you are investing in, one, they may not be interested in you specifically, or two, they
are like taking advantage of you even.
Yeah, they're taking advantage of you, or it's like they are interested in you, but they're not actually giving you what it is that you need. Like, you have made up this story of this person.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. And I think we'll get into like our own experiences seeing other people do this, but there's definitely been some interesting things that patterns I've caught myself doing it. Certainly seen other people do it where you're kind of projecting the idea that you would like onto a person.
Yes.
Where you're like, I think that they would be like this. And your brain, being a very powerful thing, is like, yeah, no, that's who they are.
Yeah.
And then they do things that don't line up with that vision and you're like, that's not real.
Yeah.
I think the image in my brain is more real.
It is. Ugh, this is why I love the brain so much. Like, your brain can play so many amazing tricks on you, and it can convince you of things that are simply just not there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of scary to think about, I think, in a very, like, pulled back, objective way. Mm-hmm. But also, it is just fascinating to think that if you really want to put it down, and this is kind of what I was thinking about this morning when I was thinking about talking today, was that limerence to me is kind of based in this idea that humans just want to be loved. Not every human in the entire world, but a lot of us do.
Yeah.
A lot of us want some form of care and love, and we are willing to literally override like physical signs that are coming into our brains and override them so that we can be in love with them. Like, that's kind of amazing, and it's a little cute. I'm not even that big of a romantic, and maybe that's the wrong way to take limerence, but that's what I was thinking about it today, is just like, we just want to be in love. We want to find this like amazing feeling, and like so much of Dr. Fisher's work is just talking about how like people, like her, she always has this intro where she's like, people kill for love, people die for love, like people want to love.
Spicy.
Yeah,
I and almost like you could also think about it as we want to see the best in people too, and that I think that is part of limerence, of hoping and wanting the best, maybe even if it's just your own personal version of the best for that person.
Absolutely.
And being willing maybe to a fault to look past the bad.
Yeah. Who knows?
We've got a few more things in store for you. Like I mentioned previously, we're going to be talking about some times that we have seen some friends perhaps going down more of a path of limerence rather than love, and a few other things. But first, we're going to listen to a few ads. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back.
How'd it go? Are we down with them?
No. They must have seen you.
I know that you're not too ambitious.
I don't have any friends and you can too. Tune into Teachable Moments on 101.9 FM every Tuesday at 4 p.m. if you're a f***ing dork.
I specifically said no geeks.
But my mom says I'm cool.
Everybody Is In provides relief to the COVID-19 crisis by delivering goods and services to residents of the downtown East Side. And we need donations. Right now, we are looking for protective personal equipment, sanitation supplies, non-perishable food, and hygiene items. You can email everybodyisin2020donations@gmail.com to make a donation, or go to dtesresponse.ca for more information. Everybody Is In is funded by Downtown Eastside Response through diversity, arts, music, and entertainment.
And we're back. You are listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. Before the break, we were talking a bit about how limerence and love can overlap and a little bit about the brain. But now I want to pose a question to you, my dear friend Violet.
Aww, that's a nice greeting.
Have you ever had an experience where someone said that they were in love or that they were falling in love with someone, but you were a little suspicious and you thought, maybe this is limerence?
Yeah, I have. To be truthful and honest, I have. But I don't. Like we were talking about before, it's so subjective.
Yeah.
I can have my own thoughts and opinions, but at the end of the day, I would probably never vocalize them to someone.
No.
Because it just doesn't feel appropriate and it's not my experience, and people can share things and try to articulate things, but you don't always get the full picture. You're not in their head. You're not in their heart. and I think that all you can really do is just believe them and validate them. Well, try to believe. I mean, you can have your own personal thoughts, but I don't know that you should necessarily come to them and say, no, I don't think so. I heard about this thing, limerence, on the Therapy Hour podcast.
Yeah, please don't do that after you listen to this episode.
And so your feelings are not valid. Please don't do that.
No.
But yeah, I think that even if you do believe that, I personally don't think that you should really say something. Do you think you should say something? Have you said something to friends before?
I definitely don't think that you should say anything to anyone about their relationship unless they are, like, truthfully asking you. And yeah. I think that I've had experiences before when I was younger where I gave unsolicited advice to friends about their relationships, and it did not work out well because, spoiler alert, they stayed together and we're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like there's, it's really difficult because I think as a friend, so often you can be the objective person and you can be sitting there and looking at what this is, and someone may come to you saying, I think I'm falling in love with this person. And you're sitting there like, oh, but this is not what I am seeing, and I feel, and
or this isn't what you deserve.
Exactly, that's usually what it is, and I think that it's so difficult because I definitely understand when, like, I've been in relationships before, and people are thinking poorly of them, and they've come to me about it, and I am just like, I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
I did not ask you this opinion. Like, do not do this. But I've also been on the other side, and I've been like, well, these people, friends usually just really care about you and they want you to be happy and they think the world of you. Either way, though, I feel like it's just not anyone's place in what you were saying, which is like, love is an abstract concept. What love may be to me is going to be different for you, which is going to be different for, you know, those people that are sitting outside of the studio right now.
Yeah, and I definitely relate to what you were saying. I've definitely learned the hard way about trying to tell my friends things that they don't want to hear about romantic relationships in particular. And I also think that sometimes people have to learn those lessons for themselves.
Yeah.
And I know that I've definitely done that as well. And they can look back and say, maybe that was limerence instead of love. But I don't know if they need someone to tell them that in the moment.
Yeah.
And I think it, you know, we can't tell people what they're feeling, as we've said. And it can be very invalidating to share something so personal like that too with someone, you know, who you trust, and have them turn around and tell you that you're wrong about your experience. You know, we were talking earlier about this, like, oh, what if we felt the way about being happy that we did about being in love? If I came to you and I was like, I'm so happy right now. And you're like, no, I think that that's actually shame that you're feeling. Like,
that would be
awful. That would be bad.
Yeah. I have a really good memory of calling my mom once when I wanted to talk to a friend about their relationship. And, you know, in the particular scenario, I felt like my mom had a lot of good insight. So I called her and I was just like, how do I talk to my friend about how they should not be in this relationship? And I remember her saying, don't talk to them. Like, don't say anything. It's not your place. And I know I wouldn't have wanted that. I know that other people in my life wouldn't have wanted it. And I didn't listen to her advice at that time. And I'm now very happy that I do listen to that advice because she was right.
Like,
you know, what you were saying, I think, is really important. And I feel like I've been having so many of these conversations recently about how sometimes people just need to learn through their own mistakes. I think that there's a lot of times where friends can be there to support and even give advice, and, you know, I've definitely taken people's advice before and it's helped me, but also sometimes I've needed to make those mistakes, especially when it comes to relationships, because you have to experience it, and then unfortunately you have to experience that hurt to, like, maybe understand what an obsession is, what is limerence, what does actually being in love look like to me, what is being valued look like to me, like, how am I going to learn that? And that is such a difficult thing. So I feel like the main thing when I think about love and limerence is just, you know, it's so subjective and it's probably going to be so different for every single person.
That's true as well. Like, we've spent a lot of this episode laying out and defining these terms and talking about, you know, the research done into them. But again, I feel like we're going a little bit in circles right now, but it is subjective. That's the word of the day. If it's not limerence, it's subjective. But yeah, so, you know, your experience with love or your experience with limerence may look very different than my own or your own.
Yeah. But I think either way, though, I think that it is important to know those concepts. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it is really important to know what that difference between love and limerence is.
Well, I think that knowing the difference and really knowing the, like, full fleshed out version of the difference gives you a general understanding of what healthy relationships look like and dynamics look like versus unhealthy, because I think that limerence is very tied to, as we heard in the TikTok at the start of this, neglect and not getting the treatment that you deserve and investing a lot into a person who's not investing into you in the same way. And if you kind of keep that tucked in the back of your mind and then you experience a really strong emotion for someone romantically, but then you start to pick up on the fact that you're not being treated the way that you deserve, you can kind of put a name to that experience. Right. And I think in as well, knowing the difference between love and limerence is a part of knowing yourself, knowing your partners, and as I said, knowing what you deserve. And if you experience limerence and you can confuse it for love, which, as we said, is quite easy to do, you may be turned off from relationships or actually falling in real love and not just limerence. And it's not that you need these things in your life. And for some people, they may not even desire relationships or being in love.
Right.
But it's certainly normal and natural if you do desire them. And I believe, and I know you believe as well, that everyone does deserve healthy love.
Absolutely.
And, you know, not just stopping at limerence and that's all you can expect because of your patterns in your life. Everyone deserves healthy, happy, true love. And it is out there for everyone.
Yeah. And I feel like with limerence too, talking about it and thinking about it so much in the past week, I feel like there's also this desire to make this person who, you know, you are obsessed with, in limerence with, you want to make them the one that you actually want, and you, like, somewhat believe that they can turn into the person that you want.
Yeah.
And I completely understand that, and I completely understand how it can be really difficult to ask for the things that you need out of your partners and just people in your life in general. Like, I feel like that's a thing that I always really struggle with. And I do think that a really big coping response that I've seen in my life and I've read about and I've seen in other people's lives when they've told me about it is to have this, like, fantastical version of, like, what this thing you're struggling with is. And so that kind of makes me think back to limerence, of this, like, fantasy obsession idea, because you are literally in some ways just using someone as a picture and saying, okay, this person, now I'm going to use this to now project what I think would be what I deserve. And the thing is that my only thing to anyone that's doing that or has seen that they've done that is that the person that you are making up in your brain and putting on this other person who's not giving you that person exists somewhere. Mm. There's, like, a person in the world that is going to treat you that way. Yeah. And I need to remind myself that all the time. Yes. I think so many people who have been treated poorly in relationships or just, like, don't find themselves in relationships all the time, like, I think it's hard to forget that the person in front of you doesn't actually have to be that person that gives you these things.
Yeah.
And it's okay to project what you may want out of them.
Yeah.
But if they're not going to give it to you, you don't have to keep trying, because I promise you there is someone else out there that is going to look at you and give you everything that you want. That is my voice to the people that are listening.
And, like, it's interesting to think, too, of the other side of limerence, of the person who is the limerence object. And
we haven't even talked about that.
No, we didn't really talk about it too much in our prep, but I'm just thinking about it right now, and it's kind of reminding me of the manic pixie dream girl trope, where you don't actually know or understand the other person, but you've kind of already decided that you do know them and you do understand them and you're not actually interested in, like, getting to know them in a real way, which I think that the limerence object can very much turn into.
Absolutely.
And, you know, certainly can look different for different situations, but I don't know, that was just kind of a thought that popped into my head that I thought was interesting.
This reminds me, this is such a side note, this reminds me of watching Temptation Island last night and you talking about how the singles, when they were talking to the people that were there, weren't even listening to them. They were just like nodding along. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of in their head, they're like, we're going to fall in love. Anyways, this is such a side note, but that kind of reminds me of it, right? Yeah. Where it's like, you're
just, for context, Temptation Island is a reality TV show that Holly and I watched the first episode of season four last night. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Yeah.
If you're into reality TV.
And it's just another one of those dating shows, but pretty much there was this time where it was a girl and a guy, and the girl was kind of talking about this relationship she's
An issue she had.
And he's just like nodding along. Mm-hmm. And when she says the really bad part, he like doesn't.
She's like, yeah, my boyfriend introduces me as just his friend. And he's like, yeah. And then it like takes a second, and then it like actually registers, and then he's like, oh, what, really?
Which isn't the same, but again, it errs on the side of like, that guy is there to tempt her to like fall into a relationship with her, and it just made me think about that for a second.
We'll start a new podcast about Temptation Island with all of our many, many thoughts.
Anyways.
But for now, with this podcast,
yes, of course.
We've got a little bit of homework for you, as we always do. So your homework for this week, but also kind of carries on more than maybe this week if it's not the situation you're in right now.
But I feel like also we should have said this earlier, that all of our homework should be something that you kind of like take
in
with
general.
You.
No, don't just only apply it for the week that this airs. It expires next Tuesday. No, but the next time you're falling in love, if it doesn't happen this week, then don't apply this. No, I'm just kidding. Next time you're falling in love with someone, as exciting as those feelings are, it's always good to assess what exactly it is that you're falling in love with, which I think is an important way of phrasing that. Is it the person, or is it more the idea of the person that you've come up with in your head?
Yeah. Well, this has been your free therapy session for this week. We're your hosts. I'm Halle.
And I'm Violet. This is therapy hour because everybody needs therapy.
But not everyone can afford it. Be sure to tune in 2 weeks and we'll be talking about hookup culture.
Yeah. I hope you guys aren't getting tired of our very relationship-centric episodes.
A lot of people love it, to be fair.
I enjoy it.
If anyone has ideas, because we, you know, Violet and I talk quite a bit.
And we're merely human.
Yeah, but we love to talk about things that we may not know that much about. So our Instagram, Therapy Hour Pod. If you want to send us a DM, and if you have a request of things that you want us to talk about, please do. And we would love to look at some audience recommendations.
Yeah. We will see you in 2 weeks to talk about hookup culture.
Yeah. We love you.